The big story of the week is the debt ceiling bill the Senate passed last night, but there is a list of issues that domino from that story, like the status of the farm bill and what it means for monetary policy. And there is a push by lawmakers to officially challenge Mexico under the USMCA agreement. And we can't forget to talk about a mixed message jobs report.
Live from First Friday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, it's our Friday Bull Reaper Haul with panelist Jim Wiesmeyer. From Real Ag Radio, the Alberta Breeze, Sean Haney, and I'll be manning the peanut gallery personally. Right after the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, how's things going this morning, buddy?
So good. Everything's great.
Excellent.
Really great.
Excellent. Yeah. You know, there are a few showers that have popped up again in the same general areas that we talked about yesterday. There's a chance for some rain again this afternoon. I don't want to say that the drought story is losing its legs, but it might be losing its legs, Davis.
It's too soon to say that. We're all going to die. We're all going to die horribly thirsty and terribly, terribly alone.
That's my take. Not true.
Not true?
Not true. No.
Okay. All right.
No. Now, well, for some areas out there, they have just missed and missed and missed and missed and missed. I get that.
It's got to be frustrating. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But areas are starting to pick up some rains. Now, we got some rains here outside the bunker yesterday, but it was like a quarter of an inch. It did clean up some of the pollen that had layered across everything, but still, we absolutely could use a good rain. We've got a chance for some this afternoon. We'll just kind of have to sit back and wait. So
yeah, same here. We're sitting at 80 degrees right now. Jeez, already 80.
Really?
Supposed to start raining around 1, and then the phone says it just kind of keeps going.
A little muggy up there, is it?
Hours. Look
well,
there.
We've got 79 degrees up in northeast Iowa already, too.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Woohoo. All right. Let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, Chip, the U.S. unemployment rate unexpectedly ticked upward last month, despite the labor market gaining significantly more jobs than expected, adding to mixed messages about the economy as the Federal Reserve decides whether it should pause its aggressive campaign to tame rising prices for the first time in more than a year. The U.S. economy created 339,000 jobs in May. That compares to market expectations of 190,000 and follows a rise of 294,000 in April. Wages grew a solid 4.3% in May over the prior year. Meanwhile, Chip, the unemployment rate rose to 3.7%. That's up from 3.4%, but remains close to five-decade lows, the highest since October 2022. And above market expectations of 3.5%.
Yeah.
3.7% is not too bad, though, all things considered.
Well, you know how that happened, right?
Mm.
Well, the economy created 339,000 new jobs in May, but 440,000 people were fired.
Mm.
So when you lose more than you gain, your unemployment goes up.
Oh,
it also takes a little bit of shine off that 339,000 of new non-farm payrolls, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, the Senate late yesterday voted 63-36 to pass the bipartisan measure to suspend the nation's borrowing limit until early 2025 and cap future spending, sending the legislation to President Biden's desk with just days to go before a potential U.S. debt default. The Fiscal Responsibility Act sailed through the Senate one day after it overwhelmingly passed the House with more Democratic support than Republican, Chip.
You know what? There is one guy that I know that has been saying all along, well, since the deal was struck last weekend, that is saying, listen, don't worry about it. This is going to pass the House. This is going to pass the Senate. There's no question. Yeah. It's going to happen easily. The only guy that I know that was saying that was Jim Wiesmeyer. So, well, we'll get to the bottom line with him here in just a few minutes.
I can't wait. U.S. retailers, after clearing their excess inventory from the past year, are now facing a decline in consumer demand for discretionary goods like apparel and accessories. Macy's, for instance, has reduced its full-year outlook on sales and profits, indicating a potential struggle ahead for department stores. That retail chain is now focusing on inventory discipline to respond swiftly to changes in consumer behavior. Chip, it was the just-in-time inventory system that kind of put us on shaky ground, and now they're looking at inventory discipline in the retail sector.
Yeah, that's interesting because the risks associated with the supply chain disruption were magnified during the pandemic. It will be interesting to see exactly what that inventory discipline means.
Well, USDA forecasts America's ag exports in fiscal year 2023 at $181 billion, down $3.5 billion from February. The revision is driven by decreases in corn, wheat, beef, and poultry exports. Just as an example, Chip, corn exports are forecast $2.1 billion lower on lower unit values and volumes as Brazil is projected to harvest a record second corn crop. Congressman Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin reintroduced the Guaranteeing Robust Agriculture Independence and Nutrition for America Act, which would place a one-year moratorium on enrollment in CRP. A record number of passengers are expected to fly on U.S. airlines this summer, bolstering jet fuel consumption and oil demand. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor at Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right. You had a webinar on Prop 12 yesterday. I did not get a chance to see it. I'm going to watch it this weekend. Give me the highlights.
Well, it was a really a great opportunity for us to start having more conversation around a lot of the questions that are still remaining out there. And so we left and I thought, do we have more questions than answers now than when we started? Possibly. I mean, we had a really great engagement from our audience. Appreciate everybody popping on. But, you know, we talked about everything from just Josh Trinari, the executive director at Indiana Pork, gave us a breakdown of what happened. In an overview of kind of what took place in the courts. But then we heard some market outlook from Lee Schultz and kind of his thoughts and expectations of how it's going to impact not only pork industry, but also feed demand and, you know, up and down the value chain. And then we had Scott Hayes, the MPPC president, you know, talking about his perspective as a pork producer, but also sharing some of the work that MPPC has been doing, from an education standpoint and how they're working to help producers. So just a lot of great conversation, a lot of questions. I highly recommend going and listening to it all because there was a lot that was unpacked in that conversation.
Well, I've got to watch it this weekend because if I don't, I'm going to be totally unprepared for the World Pork Expo next week in Des Moines.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, and it's Pork Week here at Farm Journal next week.
It is. We're getting ready to celebrate pork all week on all of our platforms at Farm Journal and looking forward to just elevating what's happening in the pork industry and talking about a lot of really good things. So every day there's going to be a special Q&A that features producers, vets, economists. Don't miss our newsletter next week and tuning into all of our channels.
Exactly. I thought you were going to say that we're going to be celebrating Pork Week on all of our plates next week. But
we're doing that too.
All right, Jennifer, thanks. I'll see you next week. Jennifer Scheich, editor of Farm Journal's Pork. We've got the free for all next.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Clarifly Larvicide, your feed through fly control solution.
More than just a fly control product, Clarifly Larvicide gives you more support, more expertise, more control, and less work. Clarifly Larvicide is perfectly blended into your mineral supplement to become a part of what you're already doing, feeding your swine. Improve the biosecurity of your swine operation and get control of flies by as much as 96% with Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. Visit centralflycontrol.com to learn more or contact your local feed dealer.
Welcome to the 2023 Corn Sprint. Please be silent as the runners take their marks. And looks like one plant has already pulled into an early lead because it's been enhanced with BioPath, a biological fertilizer complement from the Mosaic Company. Wait, and the early favorite has crossed the finish line. Get the most out of your fertilizer investment. Don't forget to add BioPath to your early season application. Talk to your retailer about Mosaic Biologicals today or visit cornsprint.com.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. I'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us this morning. Yeah, pork week next week, Davis.
Love me some pork chops, baby. Bacon, well, loins,
and this is
roast.
This is the month that I always get a little, you know, I always really pay attention to what you're saying. Always. But knowing what we know about what pork does to you and your level of intelligence, sophistication, professionalism, you know, just general improvement up and down the scale.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to the, I don't know if we can handle one that's much better than what you are right now, but hey, well, I'm willing.
You've got high hopes, haven't you?
I do.
I am here to serve. You know what I mean?
Outstanding.
No, not just to serve. To serve and impress.
Yes.
That's the new bar. Serve and impress. Yes. I'm going there.
I love
it. And with the power of pork, I'm going to make it happen.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, always here to serve and impress as well. How are you, Jim?
Pretty good. I go up the scale, too, when I eat pork.
Do you? Yeah.
It's a thing. It's a thing.
I think it's something that happens. we need to pay attention here. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Have you ever felt the power of pork, Sean?
Oh, with a cape and everything. And with some of the supply issues, we can all do our part to use some of that power.
Real quick, let's talk a little bit about these protein markets, because the divergence that we are seeing between the cattle market and the hog market, you guys get this. There were fat cattle that sold yesterday at the Kelowna Sale Barn in Iowa at $189.50, averaged over 1,600 pounds. $189.50 in the cash.
Yeah.
Our futures right now are at $176.50, and is maybe the most explosive cattle chart I've ever seen.
And well, then you look. Yeah, we've had a lot of smart people through the doors of AgriTalk here just in the last couple of days, completely confused by the way this cattle market is acting.
Yeah.
You know, especially relative to the hog market, it's apparently some sort of bizarre setup.
Yeah, the the confusion, you know, we've known about the bullish fundamentals for the cattle on the supply side of things for quite some time. The demand side of things, I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about. But what I don't understand, and I saw it again last night, why are we still looking at $2.79 a pound on pork loins at retail levels? Why aren't they 99 cents? Let's move this stuff through the system. This hog market, yes, it's higher this morning, sharply higher this morning, but it has been a real struggle in the financial issues that we are dealing with. We talked about it with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy yesterday morning, the financial headwinds that face this industry right now could usher in some long-term changes for the pork industry. And Jim, I know that you deal with the pork with pork producers on a regular basis. The concern over the future of the industry has got to be sky high.
Yeah, there's high anxiety, more than a little high anxiety out there for sure. I think we're seeing some structural changes, and then, of course, amplified by China policy and also the California Prop 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had interviewed a head protein analyst at Rabobank, Christine McCracken, last week, and she talked about how we're going to need 12 months to work our way through the supply issue in the pork sector. You know, and on the beef side, Chip, two things that come to mind. One, I read the article in Drovers, $400 a head losses for Packers right now. Yeah. All the people talking about how we need to put a bunch of regulation and legislation and increase it in terms of dealing with these high Packer margins. That we've definitely had a reversal there.
Yep.
So we're going to be a lot quieter on that front. And the other point here, you mentioned the supply issues. One of the reasons we have supply issues is because we have had a lack of profitability at the cow-calf level. Mm-hmm. Okay. So hopefully, if we are in that, you know, that when we can have a really strong profitability beef cycle, if that's what we're in and we're going to have a good turn here in 23, that needs to work its way back to the rancher, which and some wet weather and hopefully some better grass, that there's some initiative or there's some a bit of a signal here for people to be able to retain some of these heifers so we can start to work on that supply issue that we've been talking about so much.
Right. You know, I was talking about the sale barn receipts on the fat cattle, the sale barn receipts on the feeder cattle. Holy smokes, you guys.
Yep.
It's as hot a market as I can. Well, it's the hottest market ever when it comes to the right calf, and especially the right pen of calves. When they come in there, it's say 650 and black steers. You've got no idea where that market is or where that pen's going to end up because it is red hot.
And Chip, on that though, even with that red hot feeder market, there's still money in those cattle for the feed yards based on feed yards that I'm talking to. Exactly. So that tells you that, you know, historically speaking, we tend to sometimes when we do have a profit, we like to spend it on the feeder market from a feed yard perspective. So there still is an opportunity for those feeder prices to go higher. All of this happening at a time where, you know, there's some bearish tone for sure to what could happen in the back end of 23 when it comes to the corn crop. So, you know, feed costs going lower is something that probably a lot of feed yards are banking on.
You darn right.
Well, and really, isn't this, Chip, the result of 2 years of what you might call a weather market in the cattle market? Started up north and we saw some herd liquidation. Then the dryness moved down south. We got to get rid of some of these cows. And here we are.
Right. Yeah, it is. It was a weather market. I think we're fixing that. I would like to get some grass back. Yeah. But when we do get the grass back, it's going to be a weather market again, because if they have grass available to get that feeder heifer to a first calf heifer as cheaply as possible on grass, that means it's a weather market too. So it's just huge. Yep. 185.35 is the April 2024 futures. 185.35. The way that the basis is trading right now, that's a $200 cash market. That it's Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, Jim, take us over to the debt ceiling. What's your main takeaways?
That the major media did a horrible job because they focused on the extremes of both parties. Had they done their common sense work, they would have seen that this was an easy vote. Some drama in the Senate, but it got through. That's bottom line. Now we're going to have 2 years at least not having this as a 11th hour issue. On the farm bill, on the surface, this should accelerate the odds
Jim,
of a new
hold
farm
on,
bill.
Hold on. On the debt ceiling, why more support from Democrats in the House than Republicans?
Because they didn't like what the House Republicans initially passed. So they'll take a bird in the hand. Plus, with this moving funds around, you're not going to cut nearly as much as the Republicans think. They've got more money for their favorite programs than most of the analysis says.
Okay. All right. So take us, Haney, any takeaways on the debt ceiling bill?
Jim nailed this one. Jim nailed this one.
He did.
Absolutely. So much noise on the mainstream media and not, you know, all this, like Jim always says, DC just needs a deadline.
Yep.
And the thing is, you know, we talked about this clear back when they were trying to confirm McCarthy. Oh, it just went on and on and on. Mm-hmm. This is the democratic process working. Yeah. This is, you know, I think this is actually a fairly positive story.
Yeah. Yeah. Both sides compromised.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there are going to be the hardliners that, you know, said we, you know, never should have negotiated, never should have given up as much as was given up. That line I'm hearing from the Democrats and from the GOP. Therefore,
yep,
it's probably a pretty good deal.
Yes, yes. And McCarthy, as the House Speaker, was a far better strategist than even many in his own party thought.
Yeah. Yep. I know you're out there wanting to weigh in on this. I know you are. Just hit us up. Hashtag AgriTalk. We'll be happy to consider your topics and your comments on the debt ceiling and the negotiation that took place between McCarthy and the White House and the negotiating teams between the Democrats and the GOP. So it was a process that we once again got to watch play out. I think there are some that are saying we're going to get McCarthy's leadership. We're going to get his gavel. Boy, I don't know if they've got much ground to stand on there or not. We'll talk about implications for the farm bill next.
New FDA prescription requirements are changing how you'll be able to buy certain livestock antibiotics. After June 11th, 2023, you'll need a veterinarian's prescription to purchase antibiotics that you have been buying over the counter. Zoetis is here to help you navigate these new FDA requirements that affect many animal health manufacturers. Visit zoetisus.com/FDA requirements or call 800-366-5288 to learn about what's changing with livestock antibiotics and how it affects you.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady Beach. Let's go to the livestock trade in the cattle market first. June live cattle opened at yesterday's high and on the low of the day. So far, no guarantee that it's going to hang on to it, but all you can do at this point is say, wow.
Yeah, and the wow is really in the cash market, Chip.
Yep.
We saw prices as high as $9 higher this week, and so the futures are chasing, so they're in chase mode. Now, ahead of the weekend, I wouldn't be surprised if we see some late profit-taking, despite the fact that futures remain well below the cash market, but really a bullish situation from a supply perspective and a cash perspective in the cattle market.
All right. Lean hogs getting some lift from what's happening in cattle?
Yeah. So the June contract, it's extended its premium to the cash market through the week. And when we started the week, it wasn't at a premium. It was actually at a rare discount. And so we've seen quite the reversal there, showing some confidence on traders' part that the cash market will show a little bit more strength over the next 2 weeks here.
All right. Take us over to the grain trade. Some strength in the soy complex, pressure on corn and winter wheat.
Yeah, so soybeans trading to the upside, but we're starting to see the meal market soften up just a bit in some of those contracts. We'll have to see if soybeans can hold on to the gains into the close or not. Soy oil is helping out. It's pulling strongly to the upside. So beans and oil against meal at the moment. The corn side of things, a quiet trade, but a little bit lower. And the same with the winter wheat markets, just favoring the downside. Spring wheat's trying to trade to the upside here as we get to through mid-morning trade.
All right, Brian, great. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week. That is Pro Farmer Editor Brian Grady on Markets Now.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
I don't know what you're thinking!
So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
You can also tweet at us. Just use hashtag AgriTalk someplace in the message, so that it will get into the feed here, and it will increase the odds that I'll actually see it. You can also send us an email, host@agritalk.com. Okay. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio, and, of course, Davis with us here. Jim, implications of the debt ceiling bill on the farm bill.
Well, the initial observation was that this should increase the odds that we can get a farm bill yet this year or early in 2024. Now, McCarthy, the last day or so, has signaled that the Republicans may want further work requirements relative to some safety net programs. He didn't specify food stamps. If that's the case, that is not off the table. And as we saw in 2018, initially that dethroned the farm bill vote, Chip. And plus, Debbie Stabenow says this is done. We're not going to, you know, relitigate it in the farm bill. And she admitted there's some other sensitive issues in the farm bill debate.
Do you get more optimistic that they're able to come to a speedy conclusion to the farm bill negotiations, given the fact they showed this week that they can find some compromise and both sides can give a little bit when it came to the debt ceiling talks?
If the will is there, yes. But, you know, you've got other battles. What no one will talk about publicly is you've got different commodity groups going after different things. You've got cotton and rice clearly wanting a big increase in their reference prices because from a crop basis, their cost have gone higher relative to prices. But then you get the Midwest crop saying, wait a minute. So we have to go through those battles as well.
Yeah, and Colin pointed out, Colin Peterson, former chair of the House Ag Committee, in the conversation that we had on Tuesday, Jim, even with the commodity groups, there's difference between the southern producer and the northern producer because of cotton and rice.
Definitely. And even amongst corn, you talk to Texas corn producers and they don't agree with Colin when he says that there's not enough money for the reference price increase for corn. So it depends where you are. You know, let's be blunt. The river markets, the better soils in the Midwest converse with less so in other portions of this great country.
Yeah. And remember that Representative Thompson made the comment about dealing with Prop 12 when it came to the Farm Bill talks. I can't find anybody that believes that ship's going to sail. Like, everybody I've asked has said, no way.
Yeah, I agree.
There's no way it happens.
Well, and I don't think there's still a consensus that there should be a legislative fix for Prop 12. I think they just want to say, they're saying, let's do it separate from the Farm Bill. Is that what you're picking up, Haney?
Yeah, like in outside the country, it's looked upon as a dog's breakfast because it's not just about California, but it's all the other states that are going to tag on and have their own versions. And so then you've got this quilt of regulation that people are trying to hit. It's really quite, it's not even feasible.
No.
For people trying to deal with this. That's, I think that's just the reality. And so, you know, this is where states' rights kind of go maybe a little bit awry, and there does need to be some sort of federal solution to this. Otherwise, I don't know how we meet all these different targets. Like, it's going to be insane.
Yeah. Yes, it absolutely will be. Jim, and we've talked about that quite a bit on AgriTalk this week. And it's like Jennifer Scheich said at the start of the show, they did a webinar trying to answer the questions yesterday. And they may have ended up with more questions than what they started out with.
Yeah. Well, California's CDFA is issuing updated Q&As frequently now, and they've acknowledged some pork products procured before July 1, when this kicks in, will be in circulation. So there's going to be a transition period the rest of this year, Chip. So this is unfolding. We know the questions. We just don't know the answers.
And there's the window, right? So if we're willing to say, okay, we're going to have a transition period between July 1st and December 31st, that's the window opening for another, you know, for the pushback to begin. When reality rubber hits the road and you actually have to implement, you realize you can't do what you set out to do. Watch for the signals going forward of that, you know, December 31st, all of a sudden is April 31st, is all of a sudden July 1st of next year. They've opened that window now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I think based on some comments that I've heard, stretching out final implementation of this might be part of the pork industry's strategy to allow time for more producers to make the changeover on the farrowing houses so that more pork can be made compliant for Prop 12. If the industry is doing that, it raises my level of concern because that is that a give-in move, you guys, where we just do it, where the industry has said, listen, this is the direction that it's going. And we better get compliant now or we're going to be shut out of that market.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what the average consumer, the uneducated consumer, hears. Oh, well, sure, I don't want hogs to be raised in cages.
Right.
All you have to do is say cage or crate. Right. Gestation crate. That sounds horrible. Who would want to be in a gestation crate? We get it. We understand this is the best way to do, you know, hog farrowing. For a variety of reasons, but climbing that mountain and educating the consumer that no, a crate is different from a cage, that's going to be tough.
And Chip, it may be giving in, it may look like that, but at the same time, it may be a significant gamble not to adjust and be able to meet the market going forward based on the trend here.
That's right. You can butcher this hog 18 different ways, can't you?
There's a lot of cuts.
What about the producers who actually fulfilled the terms of Prop 12?
Yeah, are already compliant, yes, and looking forward to a premium market. Absolutely. I get it.
Yep.
Those are the groups that are mad. Like, if you want to think about an angry sec, you know, of all the different groups here, if I'm in that group, I am like, listen, the writing was on the wall. I adjusted. July 1st is the date because there's an opportunity here for me, right? This is where you, when you make the change and then the actual implementation slows down or doesn't even happen, that's who's upset because they actually invested the money.
Right. Okay, guys, we got to move on. We're going to run out of time to hit all the issues today. Jim, talk to me. Let's talk some trade issues. First, Lighthizer on Kudlow's show on Fox Business yesterday. Wow.
It's a must read as far as
I'm
concerned.
Oh, my gosh.
He is just so good. Let's just bottom line. He said, look, our U.S. relations with China are so significant that right now they're having our lunch, and basically we're giving China most of their GDP, about $800 billion a year. And he said, this is why this upcoming presidential election is so important, because if you go one way, an appeasement, basically that's what he was saying. On the other side, more the Trumpian view is you can't even talk about detente when they're having your soup and military threatening our ships, threatening our aircraft, spy balloons, et cetera. So he wants to, continually decouple because he sees dangers ahead with China.
So, and has Ty deviated from what Lighthizer was doing when he was USTR, or is it just a quieter version of him?
Well,
the
we've
tariffs
got,
have
right
not
now
been
we've got a review of the phase one of the US-China trade agreement under Section 301. So it's going to be curious what the Biden administration does.
The future, the answer to your question, Haney, is in the future. It's not right now. Because Representative Ty has not lifted any of the trade tariffs on China, correct, Jim?
Yes.
So after the review will be the determination of whether or not the trade policy with China is going to change. But I think the difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration, the huge difference is that Trump made it a centerpiece and took them on directly, whereas the Biden administration is just kind of letting, you know, what was happening happen.
Yeah. And that was kind of Trump's style. He did that with everything.
Yeah.
Though. He could make a trip to the grocery store, a major event, and have everybody there. I think about the go forward and some, you know, when we talk about the reliance on China from an agricultural perspective, for sure, you know, very concerning some of the data, China manufacturing numbers here this week and what is potentially happening with the Chinese recession in the back half of 23. Yeah. That creates a lot of cause for concern when it comes to some of the demand numbers.
Certainly does. Okay, we are speeding along. We're going to talk about the jobs data that was out this morning, and then we'll figure out if we're going to rumble and bumble or stumble into the end of the free-for-all.
I'm Ty Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, the only weekend television show that features some of agriculture's biggest names. From custom commentary from John Phipps to the stories of antique iron with Machinery Pete to a list of more than 30 marketing analysts, our weekly program focuses on the topics that matter most to you. We invite you to join us each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-860-1269. 800-860-1269. 800-860-1269. That's 800-860-1269. Again, 800-860-1269.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call the Diabetic Health Hotline today and learn about the latest CGM technology. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping, and we'll bill your insurance company for you. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost.
Paid for by U.S. Medical Supply.
Call 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015. Again, 800-556-9015. That's 800-556-9015.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA. Join me every week on the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implementations, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Farm CPA podcast by Top Producer, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. It is a free-for-all here on AgriTalk. Pro Farmer Policy Analyst Jim Wiesmeyer, Real Agriculture Sean Haney, Davis, and me. Let's stay on trade for just a bit before we get to the jobs report that was released this morning. Jim, there's a group of lawmakers that are calling on U.S. Trade Rep Tai to officially challenge Mexico. The letter says, now that the 30-day period for consultations have lapsed without Mexico making any changes, we urge USTR to take swift enforcement action by initiating a USMCA dispute. Do you think they will?
Eventually, they're going to have to. But how many times do letters have to be sent on this? This is much like the President Biden's position relative to giving Ukraine what they need militarily. He's against it for a while until the pressure from both political parties gets on him where he changes. You're going to see the same thing happen with Mexico.
Mm. Haney, what's your take here?
Well, once again, the USMCA has not proven to provide one of the key pieces that we were promised, which was speedy resolution of trade skirmishes. It is more of the same. And it's disappointing. You mentioned President Biden did not have a good week this week. Everybody stumbles and everybody trips. But I just wonder if that hasn't totally potential. That video will live through the next election period. I wonder if this is now an enabler for the Democrats to move on to a younger candidate.
Watch out for sandbags. Watch out for sandbags.
Yeah.
Sandbag in his way. He didn't know the sandbag was.
Anybody can do that. Can happen to anybody.
Oh, tell me about it. Leg will tell you about it.
But there's the visual. It's not a story. It's the visual, and it will play on every commercial. We will see that clip 5 million times over number of months.
Well, and the takeaway, the scary part, is not necessarily that the guy fell down and. You know, I'm not here to poke fun or, you know, whatever. You hate to see it. But to me, the difficulty with which he got back up, he wasn't going to be able to get up by himself unassisted. That's my concern.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, after taking a fall like that, I mean, I slipped and fell on my back on the ice this winter. I laid there for a while before I got up.
You can lay there.
How many Bush lights had you had, though? That's the variable there.
Zero.
That definitely lengthens the statute of the get back up.
That's a legitimate question, Haney. But at the time, it was zero. Okay, here's another difference. Here's another difference between the Trump administration and the Biden administration on trade policy. As I said earlier, Trump would go straight at China with some issues. Biden strikes a deal with Taiwan. Okay? Kind of the poking the stick. Am I right, Jim?
Yes, and it crosses traditional U.S. trade policy and U.S.-China policy.
Yeah. Yeah. So as much as China is changing its tactics, the U.S. tactics have allowed those changes to have an effect around the world, Jim, because China is kicking butt with trade deals around the globe.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're sitting in Beijing behind closed doors, I think there's an argument that deal with Taiwan actually burns, that fire burns much hotter with Xi and the people around him than being loud and mouthing off about how you're going to take China to task. I really wonder if that's a real stealth move on the U.S.'s part.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I would rather deal directly with China rather than the side deals. But that is the administration that we're dealing with.
Well, it's not like this wasn't known, because this was been a year in the making on this trade agreement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jobs report.
They got a good jobs report this morning. New non-farm payrolls up 339,000 in May. That smoked the trade expectations. It was like 190,000 on the trade expectations. That headline number looks really good, but I'm sorry, you dig a little deeper, and I'm not all that impressed here, guys. Jim?
You know, economists have consistently underestimated the strength of the labor market. They've come in above expectations in 14 of the past 17 months, the number of hires. So where's the private industry on this? But I'll tell you, the big thing now, Chip, is the guessing game is what impact, if anything, this has on the Fed's decision June 13th and 14th relative to whether or not to hold or increase rates again.
Right. Well, here's the deal. I said it in the news. Unemployment went from 3.4 to 3.7%, even though we had this big beat on the non-farm payrolls. And the reason there is because 440,000 people got fired. So 100,000 people more than got new jobs were fired. The number of unemployed persons rose to 6.1 million. The labor participation rate was steady at 62.6%. And then there's this, the average hourly earnings up 11 cents, 0.3% from April to $33.44 an hour. Year-to-year wage gain is 4.3%. Wage growth is not keeping up with inflation, which would give me reason as a Fed governor to pause, wouldn't it?
Well, in Pro Farmer, we've got the line, the Fed's getting very cautious about regional banks. About 20-25% of their portfolios are in commercial real estate, and they're already underwater because of not only rates increases, but also because of the changed world. You've got 40-60% of big cities, New York, et cetera, not having workers in their offices, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, and also look at the what's happening with copper and crude. Signals that things are weakening on the demand side. Yeah.
Great job, you guys. We got to go. Jim Wiesmeyer, Sean Haney, Davis Michelson's going to be back this afternoon for a conversation with Chris Swift, Swift Trading, right here on AgriTalk.
New FDA prescription requirements are changing how you'll be able to buy certain livestock antibiotics. After June 11th, 2023, you'll need a veterinarian's prescription to purchase antibiotics that you have been buying over the counter. Zoetis is here to help you navigate these new FDA requirements that affect many animal health manufacturers. Visit ZoetisUS.com/FDA requirements or call 800-366-5288 to learn about what's changing with livestock antibiotics and how it affects you.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.